This is the Green Party of the United States Steering Committee call of the 13th of May, 2018. Charles Sharus is our facilitator and will take over the call now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. So do we have additions or changes for the agenda?
I'm sorry, Daryl Stack, really quickly, I have to jump off. I'm not leaving. I just have to run out of the car real quick, so I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, and I want to say that on the call are Chris Blankenhorn, Jody Grage, Hillary Kane, Mike Dennis, and Daryl Malk from the steering committee. The people who are absent are Andrea Merida, Gloria Matera, Tony Ndege, and Darlene Elias. We have four observers, David Gary from Massachusetts, Darlene Rankin from Oregon, Tama Yeager from Virginia, and Holly Hart from Iowa. And so it's all yours, Charles.
Thanks. So were there any additions to the agenda? And I heard a suggestion that we order new business or voting business early. Go ahead, Mike.
For new business, a $350 expense for a software called Hotjar.
Okay. That'll be C under new business. Any other items?
Chris Stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
We'll get the merchandise committee under the committee reports, but do we want to handle the contract as new business or do we want to handle it in the committee?
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
I suggest we handle it under new business, Chris. That will also get it in the agenda earlier so that we can vote on it.
So put that under D for new business.
Under
business item D.
Right.
So let's go ahead and start with new business. A, discussion of the split within our revolution regarding taking of corporate money.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
Gloria has asked that this be tabled until next call if it is tabled for next call if still appropriate. Okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I put this on the agenda at Sherry Honkala's request, and I will admit that I keep forgetting to remind her that we've put her on the agenda and to get her the call information. I will also say that she also fails to remind me that she wants to talk about it, and I get the sense now, a month later, that it was sort of in the moment she was like, hey, we need to talk about this, and I don't know if she's moved on or other things are more pressing, but I think we can probably table this indefinitely unless it comes up again.
So I hear the suggestion that we table it until it's raised or re-added to the agenda. Is that?
Hello. How are you doing?
Is that acceptable to everybody? I don't hear objections, so let's go forward. With B, resignation of Mike Dennis as of midnight, or almost midnight tonight, and the vacancy election.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
I guess in here I should say resignation of Mike Dennis from the steering committee as of Sunday, 11:58 p.m. Eastern, just to get that in there. And the schedule that is in the agenda is taken from the appropriate section of the rules or bylaws. Okay?
Okay, so the schedule, just for people listening, is nominations from the 21st of May through the 10th of June, and discussion from the 11th to 24th of June, and voting for 1 week starting on the 25th of June. to the 1st of July. Any other comments or questions on that?
People are welcome to try to convince me until 11:58 p.m. to rescind my resignation. I don't think it's likely, but, you know, just you're welcome to try. Over.
Thank you. So I'll leave that for offline communications. Mike, did you want to say the name clearly?
It's Hot Jar.
Okay.
All one word. So effectively, this is a software that will integrate with our website. Both me and David Dunin have been scoping this out. So I have run this by our web manager. Effectively, it would allow us to see, track how people view our website. When they come to the homepage, what button do they click? How far do they scroll down, et cetera? And when do they stop filling out the volunteer form or the donate page? So we can get a sense of the behaviors of people on our website and therefore adjust our content and placement accordingly to try to get people to see the content that we want them to see, the most important content, and to try to facilitate them getting across the finish line of giving us their email address, signing up to volunteer, and donating. And it is approximately $350, $348 technically.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
What budget line does this come out of?
Technology.
Okay, and also I want to thank you for the write-up because it helps me get something coherent into the minutes.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jody.
And I approve of this expense. If so if you could ask if there are any detractors, Charles, and we can.
Okay. Just first, are there any clarifications or questions needed? Go ahead.
So this sounds great. My only slight concern, and I assume you've talked with David about this, is like, does he have time to sort of add this to his plate? Because, you know, this sounds like one of those things, like, it's great if you use it, but I don't, you know, will it actually get used?
So I think that there will be some people who are willing to help David with this.
Okay.
I actually think that this tool will help. I mean, in some sense, while yes, it will add a bit of work, him checking it weekly, likely, for like an hour or so, but will actually potentially clarify what parts of the website that potentially there's a lot of time being spent on that actually aren't being visited by anyone. And so it actually has the opportunity to potentially give a data to back up kind of David shifting his attention from one area into another, et cetera, over.
I'm back.
Good. We're discussing the $350 expense for Hotjar.
Yep.
Any other questions before we seek consensus?
Chris,
Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to echo what Mike just said about we have a lot on our website, and I would bet that a lot of time is put into pages that are almost never looked at, and when I go to our website looking for something specific, I often have a hard time finding it because there's so much going on. So I think in terms of the rate that we're actually getting, you know, contact information, volunteers, or donations, other visits to our website, I think this could be a pretty cheap and good tool for us to, you know, to get and try to figure that out and become more efficient. Over.
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, I actually agree generally that this is probably a good idea. My question is whether or not it's a good idea right now. My concern, it's not a large expense, but I have had the pleasure of making some deposits recently and have had the pleasure or the fear also of seeing how our funds have gotten much, much lower. And I know Hillary gives us a great update, and she could maybe speak to whether or not she has a concern about even this small amount in terms of its, how it will impact us. We won't have rent going forward as of now and some other things that we were paying, so this may not matter, and maybe, you know, the difference of pennies that would have gone somewhere else. But I just wanted to ask the question was whether this was a priority for now or something that we should put on the agenda to try to do in a couple of months once we begin to right-size our fundraising. Over.
Mike, direct response.
Go ahead, Mike.
So I will yield to Hillary as far as if $300 will, you know, break the bank or not. But I think, you know, there's momentum to do this at the moment and kind of support for David to do this right now that may not necessarily be there in a couple months. And I guess I also just want to step back and frame this as, like, David's title is the web manager, and I don't think that we actually empower him with the tools to, you know, assess the website and whatnot. So, over.
Hillary, Sarah.
Go ahead, Hillary.
I think we can afford this. While we're nowhere near, like, out of the woods, the account balance is up from where it had been in the last couple of weeks, so we can afford $350.
Are there any concerns with this proposal that aren't resolved? Or?
Yeah, I'm resolved. I just wanted to just ask, but I'm good.
So it sounds like we have consensus. Any objections to expenditure?
Nope.
Okay, so thank you for the proposal, Mike. And going on to D, I forget what that item was. Jody?
Yes, Chris, it's the merch contract. From Chris.
Yep. Yeah. So I forwarded to the list a contract that we got from FII regarding the merch. Some updates there. Daryl shipped the merchandise. Was it Thursday?
Seems Friday. Right. Friday.
What? Yeah. This week.
They should be getting it tomorrow or Tuesday.
Awesome. And so they sent over a contract. Schedule A, the last page, has all of the generic numbers that we were talking about. $360 per order, fulfillment cost, customer service of 50 cents per order, and then no charge for warehousing the merchandise. Nothing for reporting and data uploads. Hillary, did you hear from Tom?
Sorry, I just had to take myself on mute. I don't know. I'm a little backed up on email when you say, like, about what specifically, because I have had correspondence with them.
He was going to send you a sample of the report that they do.
I
to
don't
see if there was anything.
That, but that doesn't mean that it's not in here. Let me take a quick look. I got the contract. I sent a scan of our check, as well as so they had routing number, an account number, and a check scan,
mm-hmm.
which they required. And I sent the FEC number and our EIN. Let me see if there's a sample report. Guy's name again? Chris?
Huh?
Sorry, what's the name of the person?
Or what? It'd be Tom. I didn't see him send one either, but it was one of the things he was going to do, so it might not have.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Yeah, and the store is not up yet, so.
I read the first half of the contract before I got distracted, and it looked fine, so.
Yeah, the only thing I really saw big in there, that stuck out was whether we wanted to just be called the Green Party or the Green Party of the United States. But beyond that.
For purposes of the contract? Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yes.
Our legal name is Green Party of the United States, so technically that's what it should be, just in case there's any question. And given that there are other Green Parties out there, it's probably best to use our legal name.
Yeah, and I think
we mean, though, they couldn't sue us because they've got the wrong name. No, I'm just joking.
I think we could probably have them just in the very opening, this agreement is made and entered.
Yeah.
Change that to the Green Party of the United States, and then put in parentheticals that from now on we're going to call this the Green Party. And that's the only edit that has to be made in the document.
I can communicate that.
Okay, yeah, and we decided that you would sign it, I think, online, at least informally. So when we approve this contract tonight, we should approve it, say it with that in the minutes. I'm skimming really quick. But yeah, basically it's all pretty straightforward. And then when we hear from them, we'll get a sample store, hopefully early this week, and they'll let us know when they get the merchandise, and they'll start bulk, or they'll start reprocessing it through their system. And then hopefully we can be up and running. On the call with them on Tuesday, we were on with Tom and Kevin. Kevin is who has done the design work and the printing for every shirt that we have available right now. So he's someone we've worked with for a long time, but he's since taken his workaround shop and kind of merged it in with FII. The contract stipulates that everything will be U.S. made and union made, and if there's something, if we wanted some novelty products that they offer, because they offer something like 250 products, and it wasn't completely available union and American made, they would notify us of that, and we would sign something saying we were okay with it. But otherwise, everything will be made within our values. And it's where, when they ask for art, Kevin has it all because Kevin did it originally. So it's just a new company with the same people, basically. They also said come summer, they hope to roll out hybrid programs between what we're doing now, which is basically pallet fulfillment, where they keep our merchandise and we order it in advance, and then they charge us a $3.60 fee every time somebody orders to take it off the pallet, box it, ship it. They're going to have a hybrid where you can do some things with that, and then you can also move to pay as you go, or print as you go, for things like shirts or anything else that they can continue, that they can offer in that medium. So that would mean we wouldn't have to hold stock on a lot of that stuff, but that's coming up. And they were really excited to work with us. They really are kind of on this kind of thing's existed for a long time, but doing it with, union-made, U.S.-made values, that there's really not many people that are offering much. So they're kind of on the cutting edge of this, and we'll be right there with them as they roll out a bunch of, hopefully some models that will really help us with the print as you go and all that. So once we finish this, I'll say MerchCom will kind of move to figuring out how to expand our merchandise and how to best use this new partnership we have. So over.
Jody Stack.
Gerald and Jody.
So Chris, I wanted to say first, thank you for major heavy lifting to move this through. It's been a couple of years, I guess, we've been talking about it, and you were able to help shepherd this process, so thank you very much for that. I want to just note out, in terms of the merchandise that was sent, the list that I sent you were fairly accurate. I attempted to go back and recount. But in packing, I think there's a couple of things I forgot to recount as we went along. So we may be off one or two in a T-shirt here and there. And I think there was one T-shirt that was damaged or looked like it wasn't something we would want to sell as I was going through. And I think when Hillary and Mike were there, we saw a few of those kinds of things. They were either been in the sun and got sunstruck or whatever. But other than that, everything's good. I absolutely did not count the green pages and absolutely did not try to count the green pages. But there were about 12 to 14 boxes of green pages mixture between, I believe, the last two issues. One has Reverend Pinckney on it, and the other one has some people with a banner on it. Some of the boxes are labeled that say how many are in them. So some boxes say 400 or what have you. And I'm certain that they'll be able to figure that out as we go along. So I'm not sure how many orders we're getting on those things and whether or not they're going to ultimately be something that we need to have them shred because, you know, they would just sit there on the pallet and we'll keep paying for them if they're not moving. But just wanted you to be aware that they will probably have to give us some assessment of what they believe the number of green pages are. And of the two different, it's at least two different, it appears to be two different issues because they say a certain number, like number 8 of 12 and number 5 of 10, and those are the only two like that. So there's either 12 boxes or 10 boxes that they were shipped in, if that makes sense. Over.
Jody?
Yes, I just wanted to say that I dealt with Kevin a fair amount when I was treasurer, and he was a pleasure to work with. Over.
Chris,
go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin's been awesome. Tom's been really, you know, they sound pretty genuinely and excited about working with the party. We're going to be the first party working with them too. They've worked with campaigns, but you know, they've never dealt with what we do any either. So it's a, you know, a good experience for both of us. To Daryl's comments about the count, I'm fine with their count. You know, like you said, numbers may be off. We're manually counting. Some things were beat up. I think we're going to come up relatively close, and that's fine with me. Another thing that they can do, which MerchCon is going to discuss about how we best want to handle it, but basically we can say for every order, add something. And because
Chris, I think we lost Chris.
Okay, hopefully he'll be calling back in. We're trying to get approval for the contract. Did that go out on the steering committee list?
It went. We know about it, but we're approving it, I think, on this call.
Chris, I'm back.
Okay, you got cut off.
Yep, yeah, it beeped at me and dropped me. Did you guys hear me when I started talking about adding content?
You started it, and then it left.
Okay, so basically what that means is we can have a donation slip go with every single order. You know, we just have to have a stack of donation slips sitting there, and they can print them for us in-house, and they can you know, keep them, and they'll notify us when we're running low. But that also means things like green pages we can just have thrown in a box. You know, every order we give this, you know, you get one. Or we can do, those are things we can contemplate. So that can help us get rid of some things like green pages. Them having them also, you know, hopefully we can figure out a model that we can get them into the hands of local and state parties. You know, they're paid for, so at this point, figure out how to get, you know, what we can do. The other thing with green pages is, I've talked to them already, and I'm going to get green pages plugged in with them, is that green pages can take over, or not green pages, FII can do fulfillment on green pages, so they can print our new copies. We won't have to ship them around the country. They can go straight into the warehouse, and as they expand their print-as-you-go capabilities, hopefully printing something like that on a print-as-you-go would be possible. depending on the orders, you know, the sizes and all that. But so they can help. They can help us and have some experience selling that kind of product. That they may be able to help us get rid of it and, you know, hopefully get more and move them as well. Over.
So, Chris, you're asking for a consensus on the contract. Are there concerns?
And, and that Hillary will sign on our behalf.
Okay. Are there concerns with that proposal? Anybody ready, or anybody have questions or clarifications?
Nope.
And are there any objections or reservations?
Nope.
So it sounds like we have consensus. So Hillary's a go. And let's move on to the voting queue. Is there anything else to vote on coming in old business? I don't see anything. In the queue is a 2016.
I'm sorry, Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Did we vote on Mike's proposal in regards to Starlink supervision? Did we complete that online, or is that something we need to finish here?
Complete it online.
Okay, thank you.
So in the queue is a 2016 platform amendment proposal on ethical treatment of animals. Voting from the 7th.
Jody Stack, we have to do standing business next.
Old business?
No, it goes new business and then standing business.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I skipped the section. Hillary, treasurer's report.
So I just emailed out a treasurer's report. Well, I emailed out our bank balances. Things are looking a little better because we are now over the threshold that we need to be. So we're not dipping into reserves at the moment, which is great. And I've been actually steadily putting money back into the actual reserve fund. Though we do have a large $8,500 bill that I need to pay to Red Sun Press for the direct mail that just went out. So I will probably get that out the door. It was technically due today, but I'm going to get it out this coming week since I was trying to wait to make sure that we had money. And payroll is finally winding down. At this point, both Adrian and Cynthia have been fully paid their severance. The only thing they haven't been paid is the 6 months of health care, mostly because I need – well, with Adrian, we're going to wait and pay it for the end of the year so that we don't screw up his unemployment. And with Cynthia, I sort of need her to respond to me. I mean, I guess I don't really. I can just give her the money, but, it's going to be taxed. But because she's not responding about submitting reimbursements for the health care plan that we have. And kind of same with Scott. So I'm going to keep at that and at some point just pull the trigger and send them money.
Do you want me to make a call to them?
Yeah, I mean, if you want. I mean, I've emailed them both and just, you know, neither one of them ever submitted a receipt through the system. And so technically, like, we don't owe them anything for January through, you know, March, I guess, because they didn't use the process that we've laid out. I think the question is, you know, we agreed to 6 months of health care. Does that mean 6 months of the process and you submit receipts and then we reimburse you? Or does that mean the cash equivalent? Because technically the issue, I think, from a liability, like the health reimbursement system that we have can only be used for quote-unquote current employees. And so while I was paying them severance this past month, you know, even though they were technically laid off, I mean, for all intents and purposes, they were still on the books. But now they're no longer on the books. And so they could submit old receipts, let's say, through April, and I could use the HRA system. But for the 5 months after that, I can't use the HRA system. So then do we just give them the money? Which is fine. I mean, just the only loss is that they would have to pay taxes on it because it would just be straight-up income. But, you know, neither Scott nor Cynthia has submitted a single receipt. And so, you know, there's some, you know, ethical dilemma about what we actually owe them, particularly the month of April. And then in Scott's case, a few couple more months because his severance is going for another couple more months. So... This is a matter for the personnel working group and or the finance committee.
Daryl?
Yeah, I'm fine with if we punt it back over to personnel or finance, but I would say that whatever we're doing with Adrian at the end of the year, if we're just paying him out, that we would just do the same thing with them and move on. If that's what we're going to do for him, then we do the same thing for them. And if they're not responding to anything else, then, you know, their salary is already down for the rest of the year anyway, so the fact that they're going to get this as a piece of salary and be taxed, it's the same difference as if it was. It's not the exact same difference, but it would be if they were still working. So,
Hillary Stack.
Hillary?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was generally my operating assumption. But it would be nice, you know, like theoretically, we also owe Scott and we could owe Scott and Cynthia. Let me just say that. You know, the actual health reimbursement January through March or April, and I'm pretty sure they both have expenses. I mean, I know Scott does. He told me that he had premiums, and I've asked him, you know, a couple of times, like, if you need help figuring out how to use the system, let me know. I've told Dave Doonan as the shop steward, and also just because I know he's figured it out because he uses it, and so I'm just not sure, you know, what the barrier is, but yeah, if you have conversations with either one of them, Daryl, or want to try to reach out by phone, I would greatly appreciate it.
I will, and I'll update you.
Thanks.
No problem.
Any questions on the treasurer report? We'll move on to fundraising.
Oh, wait. Let me add one more small, stupid thing, just because... So apparently there was a contractor from 2016 who needed an amended W-2, and I, after much harangue, like, it was actually quite an ordeal to get this done, but I finally found a Green Party member who happens to also be an accountant who had access to software for 2016, because anything I had access to would not let me go back that far, and for $2.90, I was able to get this done, whereas all the other systems I was able to find would have cost hundreds of dollars. So,
if you ever Green Party member.
If you ever wonder what I'm spending my time on.
there's a mention of treasurer report to the GNC.
Did the March report go out, Jody?
I believe so, yes. Part of the problem is that David Doonan does not, at this point, know where those things are being housed. So he and I are still working on that. But before too long, all those reports should be available to the GNC.
Oh, sorry that my house phone is ringing. Probably my mom or something. So hold on a second.
And Mike Dennis, as soon as Hillary wraps up, you'll be up.
Okay. Nope.
I'm back, sorry. The treasury reports are all in a Google Drive in the Finance Committee folder, if that's useful.
Okay. Moving on to fundraising, Mike Dennis.
Thank you. So at least in Nation Voter, which is not necessarily our complete finances, but thus far for May, we've raised around $8,400. Being halfway through the month, that's actually are not quite halfway through the month. That's actually pretty decent compared to the past couple months. E-blast that we've had since the last call, we sent out a May Day one, which brought in approximately $200. We sent out one about Trump and war, which brought in about $425. And we resent the email on North Carolina ballot access, which thus far has brought in $300. So we have kind of intentionally slowed down our e-blast process for the time being, because I think people are getting tired of hearing from us for only money. So I'm hoping, I heard some talk on the media committee about a net neutrality petition. So I hope that happens. We would love to send that petition out. Thus far in May, due to e-blast, we've had 256 people unsubscribe from our emails. That number could be even higher. But we have had only 141 emailable people sign up. So that is a deficit as far as growth of our email list. So in addition to that petition that we will hopefully send out, we also have an A&M email coming up. We'll likely send something out for Memorial Day. We're working on an operations sustainer e-blast. Those tend to do fairly well. And we're considering resending the Joy and Hillary testimonials email because while the total amount, instant amount that it brought in was only maybe $300 or so, most of those were sustainers. So as far as how much that brought in for the course of the year, it was actually, I think, a little over $2,000, which is pretty awesome. As far as other projects and happenings, I believe that direct mail letters have started arriving in people's inboxes. So if not already, we will hopefully start seeing some checks come our way from that latest direct mail. And I know that Tamar is starting to think about the next direct mail, so you all might be hearing about that perhaps in June or so. It might be a small batch one with potentially some kind of handwritten aspect to it. We are finalizing Caring Sense, which is a project that will allow people to round up whenever they use their credit card and then cap it. So, if you buy a sandwich and it's I don't ever buy sandwiches, so I don't know how much a sandwich costs. That was a bad example. But anyway, we'll round it up to the closest dollar. So I think Finance Committee is going to kind of officially approve that at some point. In the meantime, Fundraising Committee is working to get it ready to go. The duplication continues with approximately over 10 volunteers, which is stellar and likely the largest volunteer operation going in the party, at least nationally, that we have at the moment. Of course, there are 17,000 or more duplicates, so we are looking for more volunteers. Everything is set up in Freshdesk, so Starlene is responding to persons who sign up on our volunteer form who indicate that they are interested in being a sustainer. So that is happening rapidly when people do that. Hopefully that will bring in some sustainers. We've made updates to the major donor spreadsheet, and Gloria will be helping to take that on as she transitions into the Starlene supervisor and the fundraising committee liaison. Something new that we'll be doing as fundraising committee, or rather Starlene with our support, is at least a couple Facebook and Twitter posts a week with the donation link. So, Starlene's not creating the content that media committee will be creating, responding to news, but we do need just kind of those donate links tweeted out and whatnot every once in a while, because that does bring in a few dollars here and there. And we've updated our fundraising calendar so that hopefully everything will start working like clockwork. as far as when onboarding emails are sent, when volunteer emails are sent, who does what reports, when those reports come in, et cetera, et cetera. And I will be having a call with Gloria, Tamar, and Starlene tomorrow, where we will all get on the same page about all of these exciting developments so that there is a smooth transition. Over.
Daryl Stack.
Judy Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl, then Jody.
Yeah, so I'm wondering whether or not we have any updates and information on the list that we were gathering from around the country and beginning to email out to, as well as I know Tama prior to now had talked a lot with Starlene and us about these prospecting lists and also the Jill Stein list and going through that. Do we have any updates on whether or not how much of that was is useful? Did those processes actually happen, or are we still working on that? And, you know, what did we get? What's the return on any of the all that? Because we spent a little bit, I believe, trying to email out or mail out to different lists to try to see if we could flip those folks to GPUS donors. So I'm just curious about those various lists and what happened with them, if or if it's still in process. Over.
Sure. I can respond to at least parts of that. So the Jill Stein list is fully onboarded. That happened, I think, in the fall. So those persons have been getting our emails. I don't know if there's any kind of specific tracking of kind of how many of those people unsubscribed, yada yada, so that data is not available. As far as the, you know, we did a direct mail in the fall to the Jill Stein donors, which, you know, I think performed fine. It wasn't spectacular, but, you know, those were all prospects, right? As far as other lists, Starlene continues to try to get states to do a list exchange with us as the bylaw states. And whenever Starlene gets those lists, they are onboarded with a series of three emails, and so Starlene has been regularly doing that for all of the lists that we've been obtaining. And she actually tracked what states have kind of given us lists, et cetera, in a spreadsheet. So I don't know what that total is, but we've also implemented a process where once a month, Starlene will be emailing all the states that have not given us that list with just a friendly default generic reminder, letting them know about that. And we're actually going to do a shorter onboarding series for anyone who signs up on our website. The next week, they will get kind of an introduction email, so they'll get a scaled-down version of onboarding. Over.
Jody? Jody?
What's the name of the program, the Roundup program?
It's called Caring Sense.
Thank
and
you.
So, yeah. Jill used it at the end of her
right.
campaign. It was fairly successful for them. Over.
Thank you. Over.
Any other questions or clarifications on the fundraising report?
This is Tama. I do have a couple of clarifications.
Mm-hmm.
The Jill Stein list, when we did the direct mail, was not productive. I think it might have broken even, but that's about it. And I'm going to think about proposing that we kind of pare that list down on our list, because if the emails are not working, then, you know, we're paying for them. So, but that's in the future. We can look at that. The other update is that the direct mails started coming in like a couple of days after people got them, because we're sending them first class now, pre-sort. And so they come in much quicker. Plus we get the address changes. With bulk, we never did. And I have about $2,500 to enter in Nation Builder, so Mike didn't have that figure because it's not in there. So there's been one deposit made, and then I've got some credit cards to enter. So it's about $2,500 so far. But Daryl should have a whole bunch of mail because it's usually really good the second and third and fourth weeks. So I hope you have to carry a big box, Daryl, when you go to the post office this time.
All right, no problem. I'll be picking mail up this week. They're making the deposit. I'm sorry, Daryl Stack.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my intention is to pick up the mail at least once a week and make a deposit at least once a week. This past week, I just had too many different things going on with finalizing the move and some other stuff. I didn't do it this week. I didn't get to the post office in time considering where it's at. But I will be able to do that more consistently. So I just want to give you guys an update that there wasn't a deposit this week, but that means it'll probably be either two deposits this week coming or we'll have one really large deposit.
I just realized I have two more clarifications or things to add. One is that the other night in one of my moods of trying to figure out how to do things in Nation Builder, I figured out a way that we can get the expired sustainers the month they expire, which is something we hadn't been able to do. It's just a matter of the way they're tagged. And so that way we can start to contact them right when they expire. And the other is, Mike mentioned the Memorial Day e-blast, and I just want to let people know that that's going to be a little different than our normal e-blasts. About 8 years ago, Claudia Elquist wrote a beautiful story about Memorial Day and what it is, and we sent it out as a fundraising e-blast. And all it was the story and then a donate button at the bottom of it, because that's what our e-blast when we were doing salsa used to be like, and we got almost $2,000 from it. So I'm hoping that a repeat of that 8 years later might be good. It's, like I said, it's a totally different style from a regular e-blast where you push people for money, but we did do really well on that one, so she's volunteered to let us use it again. So look for that on Memorial Day.
Daryl said. Oh.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, so Tama, and I think if Starlene's listening as well, or Mike, as you transition to Gloria, that particular thing that Tama's talking about and doing something that's different than the traditional e-blast that we've been doing, if you can specifically look and compare it to what happened the first time we used it and the other ones we've been doing, because maybe the key to our success around e-blast and bringing more money in is doing something different than the standard model of, you know, just simply push people for money. But maybe these stories, these interest stories, are things that jar people and will make them want to give to us. So we might want to look at that and see if that's something that we should switch our model to, if it works better. But that's just a thought, and I'm sure you guys have it under control. It's just a passing thought as you made that comment. Over.
That's why we're trying it, just to see on this one. We don't have a lot of information from some of those other ones. We have some. There are some paper reports that we can go back to, but there aren't. That one just stuck out because it made a lot more money than any other e-blast we did when I was the fundraising manager. Over.
There's a mention of fundraiser hire update. Mike, did you go into that, or is
sure.
there information?
Generally, so we put out a call for RFPs for a contracted fundraising consultant, and we received, I believe it's four responses. And so Hillary is looking at setting up interviews for those persons, I believe, starting this week. So that's where the process is. Over.
Thank you. Any other questions on the fundraising report? So let's go on to liaison reports. Darlene, A&M.
Darlene's not on the call.
Oh, okay. Gloria's not on the call. Chris, merchandise.
Hillary's there.
Go ahead, Hillary.
Yeah, I was just going to, on the A&M piece, so one of the things that I know the A&M committee needs us to do, and I don't know if we want to spend any time tonight or if a couple of us can powwow afterwards, but we need to start planning this the Saturday-Sunday portion of the meeting. So I have done a draft agenda and sent it out to, I guess, what is our subcommittee, which I think is Gloria, Darlene, myself, and maybe Daryl. And Tony.
And Tony, I think.
I don't know if anyone commented, but I just want to make sure that we're on top of this. And the other thing that Tana has asked us to decide is, are we going to have a post A&M meeting, Sunday afternoon? I mean, a steering committee meeting rather, which I know historically has been done and is an important part of, like, face-to-face, you know, especially since we don't get a retreat. Though I will say I don't remember when my flight is. I don't know that I can stay much past, like, 2 o'clock. But that's just myself, so.
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, Hillary, I did read your the document, what you sent out. The draft looks basically good to work to start a framework with. I do have one thing that I've been suggesting. I've been trying to talk to some of the caucuses about to see how they feel about it, an idea that came up to use some of that time for folks from the caucuses to have an opportunity to talk to the party as a whole about ways to reach out to those particular parts of our constituency and barriers that the party has that are preventing us from really reaching into the communities from which the caucuses come from. So we're waiting to hear back from them if we have consensus on that. I know that we have some folks from the Black Caucus that are interested in, I think there may be some others as well, but I'm waiting to hear back from all of them before formally suggesting. But I was looking at, there's a time slot you had in there, I think from 1 to 4, I believe it was probably the Saturday, where there was a TBA, there was nothing there, where there were other time slots had things listed in them. So that was where I was going to suggest something like that happening in a couple of rounds that allows both folks to offer some information but to have questions asked and have some dialogue with members of the party about those issues. And there may be nuances from different regions and different states that can be talked about in that kind of a conversation. So that part is something that we'll get back on, and I think that I'm open to trying to grab a meeting as soon as possible, even if we just respond online in a Google Doc and make any suggestions around the document that you created. Over.
So is that all for A&M? Media committee, Gloria's not here. I know they just had co-chair elections. Unless anybody has other information, we'll move on.
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Hey, we're all on that committee, so, I mean, any of us probably can say what the most recent things are, but for the record, it's going out for these minutes, and for the listening, the media committee, for those that are not on that committee, you're right, they just elected co-chairs, Ann Link and Justin McCarthy, and for 2 years, Justin for one. And they're also putting some various processes in order to work on getting out releases. And they're also looking at some adjustments in the traditional press releases and doing more media advisory type things and some other stuff. There's also conversations right now about some more dynamic or interactive types of things that can be put out, like video commentary and other kinds of things like that, that will drive more interest in our work and in the party and in what we're doing. So auxiliary to that, there have been some conversations between some of the SC folks and committee folks and David Dunan in regards to the Speakers Bureau, which our former staff took quite a bit of time and energy to begin developing and putting together. And so we don't want it to languish on the vine, but it right now isn't arising to a priority compared to the other things that we need to get going on. But it is still something that's being talked about so that it doesn't get lost in the process of our restructuring and reorganizing and revamping our engagement in the community and our outreach into the larger world.
Over. Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
Gloria did send a report in that I can use in the minutes, too. Over.
Thank you. Chris, merchandise?
Yeah, we pretty much covered most of, you know, what's been going on by approving the contract. And I will send everybody updates when hopefully this week we'll get to see what the store looks like. Hopefully this week Hillary will get a sample of the report that they'll send monthly for FEC stuff and for financials, and again, we can make sure that that's going to work for us and they can augment it if they need to. And then moving forward for merch committee, it's basically, you know, getting going with our current stock and trying to figure out a way to get it out, and then coming forward with, you know, kind of a plan and working with FII to, you know, help hopefully beta test their print-as-you-go program and see what we can do with this, with the new tools we have for them. Over.
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if Mike's going to have to get off the call shortly, so could we jump to the committee that he has, if he has any additional updates from his work before he has to go away. And Mike, I do want to say again, thank you for so much of what you've done to modernize the way we do what we do as a party, and you're leaving, you know, it's a great testament that anyone can leave something better than it was when they got there, and I absolutely believe that that's exactly what you are doing, and you're going to be tremendously missed, at least by me, and I'm sure others, and I hope that you will stick around in some capacity to continue helping us as we make this the modern party that it needs to be to make change happen. So thank you.
Thanks, Daryl. Mike, are there any other reports?
I do not have any other reports. And thank you so much for your kind words, Daryl.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
We do have the issue of replacing Mike as liaison to the fundraising committee. I am wondering if that is something that we need to do immediately on a temporary basis, because we will have, with the
Mike
election of
response.
A replacement for Mike and the new SC, we'll be retooling anyhow.
Mike, direct response.
Over.
Go ahead, Mike.
This has actually already been resolved. I ran a proposal online, and that proposal was both for Starling supervision and FunCom liaison. So actually, as of I think like a day or two ago, Gloria actually already is Starling's supervisor and the fundraising committee liaison.
Okay, thanks. I missed that wrinkle.
You're welcome.
Okay, great.
Good work.
Hey, baby.
Are there other committee reports?
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
I'll give you an update regarding DRC right now. That's the only one that I have any specific things on. And so we have been getting steadily a variety of requests for our DRC engagement. And most of the time, we're also dealing with situations that are particularly confrontational or problematic, but many of them are not always within the jurisdiction of GPUS and therefore the DRC. However, we offer to provide the service if the folks want to. And generally people will say, okay, we're okay with something happening. But then ultimately what we've been finding is that a lot of times, because the process requires both parties to engage fully, if one side, and usually it's been the side that is being asked to come to the table because someone has a concern, have tended to say, okay, I no longer want to do it, or they put out a series of preconditions in order for their continued participation, which actually doesn't allow us to begin any kind of a mediation or dispute resolution process, because what you want has to come after you start having a conversation, not before you have the conversation. We won't talk to you unless you tell us you're going to apologize first. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to work. So the committee's been talking about a variety of things, like how is it possible to make some changes that will call people to the table, particularly if it's something that is of a significance that not doing it is worse than is going to leave things in a bad, worse shape. So we're not sure how to nuance that in terms of our rules and how that process works. We're also looking at how do we report out, because my interpretation of the DRC process and what I've led the committee in so far is that it is a pretty much fully confidential process, mm-hmm. that we don't say who's been asked and who has an issue and who's being dealt with. But what happens is that if there are some significant issues, as there have been, then the party as a whole doesn't know about it. And so the most we say is there was a dispute, and we had five disputes, and three of them were resolved, two of them couldn't be resolved, and one of them nobody would do anything on, or however that works. But we don't mention who and what and where those disputes were from in order to protect people's privacy, reputations, and all of that. But we're finding that there are some concerns about that, because in protecting some reputations, we're also protecting, let's just say, abusers, right? So by not stating that this person did something at all that caused for concern, we're also not identifying that there is a track record or history of something happening with certain either groups or people or entities. And so we're grappling with what kind of reports to make to the national committee, how we can do that by still protecting folks' integrity, but at the same time also being able to show some level of accountability. We're also cautious about it because too much information can be done in a way where, let's just say, no one liked Mike, and so five or six people started having a dispute with Mike, which are all frivolous, but nonetheless, the party would then have heard, oh, Mike's got five disputes going against him, and an election time would make him less attractive for that reason, even if they weren't real reasons. And after the fact, once the impression is put in people's head, it's hard to undo that. So we're looking at all those different nuances. We're also looking at when we got the DRC, and over the years, because we hadn't had any requests for several years, no one had really looked at the rest of the bylaws. There's an entire section of the bylaws when this committee was created that basically said we should do this other process also, but we should finish this later. And so that whole section of how to do that and what needs to happen and finishing that out was not ever addressed for the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever. And so we have committee members that are looking at those parts now and trying to figure out what that process would look like and how we finish out the last segment of the bylaws in terms of what doesn't exist. And finally, in last year, I think one of our members here made a suggestion of a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and the DRC is looking at how such an entity would be structured and created and populated and what its function would be, any authorities and powers and all that kind of stuff, before making a more formal proposal. The basic idea would be that it would fall within the Dispute Resolution Committee as an umbrella, but it would have its own autonomy from that committee. So it would make its reports to the DRC and to the national, but it would become, the records of that would be part of the DRC process. But the scope of which we haven't determined yet. So it's just something that's out there that's in the works that's being talked about. But we had a group of people interested in it from the last A&M, that and several other things that I had to follow up with over the year, and many of those things have sort of fallen out of either interest or popularity, and so lots of things are still sort of dangling participles out there, and so we're trying to clean as much of that up. So that's where DRC is, and we've got a marvelous co-chair, Sherry Miller, and she's done great things to help us in terms of our structural organization. We have a new process where when a DRC request comes in, it's cataloged and coded, and as we assign it to people, we can track where the progress is going on with it in a spreadsheet that's online in Google, and just a wonderful, wonderful tool that we're just beginning to use and tweak and see how it's going to work for us. But it also allows the entire committee to maintain a certain level of awareness about what's happening, but then a certain level of privacy. What we found was that we had a member of the DRC in the past who had also brought a request for a DRC process. And so we had to figure out ways both on the call and in our electronic communication of how we could communicate with the full committee about the issue without that person hearing all the details that they didn't need to have about the process from either the other side or our deliberations about how we wanted to address certain issues. So this tool that Sherry has helped develop is hopefully going to help us in that process, but lots of good things coming in terms of giving that committee more foundation. The problem is that it doesn't really have any fire to do the things. It all is all really volunteer-driven and whether people want to participate. And so, we get going, and then it doesn't go anywhere because people sort of just sort of stop responding to email, they don't return calls, they don't get on a call, or they say, I just don't want to do it, and so then it sort of dies along the way, leaving many, many things unresolved in states, locals, and between people. So we're hoping to find a way to, I don't know if it compel is the right word, but we want to get more of these things to at least a place where people feel they've gotten some kind of resolution that could help them heal and move forward in the work that they're doing for the party. Over. I know that was a lot.
Thank you, Daryl. Any other committee reports? Or questions? I guess that's it for liaison reports. Voting queue.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Judy.
All right. Well, there will be a proposal put up shortly about making it the 2018 platform amendment proposal for the two proposals that are in the queue right now. There were proposals that have been received for the queue. I noticed they say 2016 also, so I believe I can still get in and change those. I hadn't really focused on that until just now, so I'm making myself a note. 16 to Q. There is I don't know if there are any questions about those. And I am listing under in this agenda topic what has been passed with online SC action since the last meeting, and the one that's in there is the Fundraising Committee Liaison and Supervision of Starling Rankin. So that is in there now. I don't know
Sorry,
if there
that's
any
me.
Questions.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hello?
Okay, sorry.
Well, that's
I was
a fun echo.
My computer to my phone, and it took me a second to mute the computer.
Thanks.
Okay. So anyhow, that's the voting queue as far as I know. If there are other things in there that should be noted, please advise. Over.
David Stack.
Go ahead, David.
Jody, I just want to point out that you will have to call for nominations for the Election Tabulation Committee 2 months before the A&M. So that would be about May 25th. Over.
We did something. I'll check into that, David. There was something going on about that. That at the moment I don't remember what it was. But I'll check into that, and thank you for mentioning that.
And you mentioned the re-platform proposals, expedite requested.
Yes, and so that will those will have to be approved by the SC for expedition.
Are there concerns with expediting those three, climate change, carbon sequestration, UN Convention on Rights and Persons with Disabilities, and foreign policy and peace and disarmament? Any concerns with expediting those? It sounds like we have have consensus to do that.
Thank you.
Somebody's got chatting in the background. Please mute. And proposals since the last call sent to the NC. Supervision. Does that need to be, anything has to be done with that, Jody?
No, that's already been approved.
Okay. Mentioned by Mike a little bit earlier. We can move into old business. Forum managers for National Committee confirmation.
Excuse me. One of the things we're going to need for these proposals that are received for the queue is floor managers.
Oh.
So is there someone who would be the floor manager for the Women's March?
Chris Stack, I can.
All right. How about the climate change and carbon sequestration?
Floor manager for the
Daryl Stack. I was on mute. You couldn't hear me. Jody, I was just going to ask if there are several of them, if we could send out the list to our list and just ask folks to respond by tomorrow. Who can be floor managers for those?
Because
we've got several people not here.
I need to get them up on the queue tonight.
Oh, okay.
So can you volunteer for one, Daryl?
Tell me what they are again.
Climate change and carbon sequestration, UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and foreign policy, peace, and disarmament.
I'll take the third for 1,000.
Okay.
Chris, go ahead.
Did they have to go up tonight, Jody?
Yes.
Okay. And the document, the text is in the agenda.
There's links to the text, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm not on the right computer to do it right now, so I want to make sure I go downstairs and do.
Okay, so I'm looking for floor managers for the carbon sequestration and the rights of persons with disabilities.
I can do the fourth one also, the disabilities one.
All right.
I'll do the other
one
too.
All right, thanks, Chris.
It's carbon sequestration.
Right.
Climate change,
right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to old business. Forum manager nominations and confirmation. Three to serve 2-year terms for forum manager and one for alternate forum manager.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
I'd like to nominate Sid Smith.
For which?
for a floor manager.
Do we need any more background, or is this everybody familiar with this from previous agendas?
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
You have a question. I know that David is also staff, but could he be an alternate floor manager because he is monitoring all that traffic and he seems to be in the know about these things as well and probably moves faster and more consistently than other volunteers who are not necessarily looking at that traffic on a daily basis? I'm just curious of what you all think about that.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
I think it would be necessary to emphasize that this is not part of his workload, that this would be an extra volunteer position. We are supposed to, by this meeting, and this has been delayed for several meetings, have contacted people to see if they're willing and that they have their state or caucus approval. So I don't know if this has been done. I did do this with Sid. So I don't know, I don't know. As I say, I think it would be a reasonable thing outside of David's staff.
Hillary Stack.
Over.
Go ahead, Hillary.
Legally, we can't ask him to volunteer. Like, it can be construed as coercion to work for non-pay. So I'm
right, and I was actually thinking of it more of because he works for us and he's on
right.
there, that it would be something we'd add into if he feels he has it. It's a question to him as well, is
yeah.
whether he feels he'd have the time and if it would take up too much of his time, but it
right.
seems like he's already there and already engaging and already talking about all that. Anyway, so that's what made me think about him, but I'm not saying it's a good idea. I just
right.
thought we might see if it's a good idea by having us think about it.
Just to continue, I would be okay with it in theory, but it seems like it could also just get sticky because he's kind of in an awkward position. I don't know. But I can't imagine that he has the time. But
Jody Stack.
Jody, then Chris.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Mike, then Jody, Chris, and Jody.
Mike.
Yeah, I would be opposed to David having that role. I think it would because I think it's a potentially controversial role. I don't think we want to put David in that situation. I also just think it generally falls outside of his duties as web manager, and that there's many other. Things that we can have David doing that are more productive to the bottom line of the party than manage the National Committee listserv. I think the National Committee can, manage to step up and find some volunteers that aren't our staff. So thank you. And on that note, I am hopping off the call. Thank you all so much. I'll be in touch, just not as a national co-chair. So bye, friends.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
Is there any other member of the steering committee who is on the call who has discussed with anyone a nomination as floor manager or alternate floor manager?
First,
well,
I have not found anyone interested.
Yeah, I've talked to people about it, but
they're not queuing up, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I guess at this point we have one candidate.
Well, do we? Those that are currently serving in that capacity, has anyone found out, and Holly's on the call, whether they would be interested in continuing in that capacity? In light of the changes that we recently approved for that role and others that may be coming down the pike?
Holly Stack.
Go ahead, Holly.
I don't know how Charles feels. I'm willing to stay on. I don't know if people want me to stay on or whatever. I have wanted to report on this because it's a lot less than what people think, and we do a little more than what people think, and I think it would be good for the steering committee to be aware of what actually happens and what does not. I was not planning to go for it again, but if there's need, I'm perfectly happy to stay on or be alternate. I also would say I think Sid Smith would be a good choice too.
Chris, you had asked to be on the STEC. Are you still earlier?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
Charles, I know you're a forum manager now. Would you be willing to continue, and do you think Frank would, and where are we on this? Over.
I'm an alternate currently. I would be willing to continue or to go for forum manager. And I think Frank had mentioned that he would be willing. I'm not certain.
Frank did write me. He said he, I think there may be a health issue or something, but he was earlier, and I will just say I think he's done he's a really good resource for this. But he just wrote, and he said he was not going to, he did not want to. I'll find that email and confirm that, but if nothing else, Sid could take this place, if you're looking for a quick fix. I'll track that down and see, but I'll make sure that's what he actually said, but. That was my understanding.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
So my
Holly Stack.
Holly, and then I'll come back.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Holly.
He said it was his intention to not seek another term. He said if there's someone else you'd like to encourage, I will not be at all offended. Okay, so he didn't say that he wouldn't do it. He said he wasn't going to seek another term, but he didn't. He said he had enjoyed it, but I think maybe some of us are thinking, well, we would step aside if there were others interested, but if he's willing to do it. He didn't say
jumping at the.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
I would like to suggest that we approve Sid Smith, Charles Cerruse, and Holly Hart for the forum managers and Frank Young as the alternate, given that he does have health concerns.
Hillary Stack?
No objection.
Go ahead, Hillary.
I support that as well, though did we just lose quorum with Mike jumping off the call?
I would like to suggest that I could call Mike and see if that's okay with him, just so we have quorum.
Okay.
Or you could call him and ask him just to call back in very quickly, too.
For 30 seconds, yeah.
Okay, could someone just do that since I'm down?
Yeah, I'll text him.
Thank you.
I'll text Gloria, too, because she was willing to.
Yes.
So I don't know if somebody else wants. Well, neither Gloria nor Tony were available.
You mean Andrea or Tony?
No, and Gloria.
Yes, Gloria. I know, I meant Tony. You're right. Tony and Andrea and Darlene, none of them are. I mean, I just feel bad texting somebody, but not somebody else, but they were all completely unavailable.
Right, yes.
Let's move on from this and come back to it in a few minutes. So we have updates for pending agenda items. Strategic.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
Okay. The strategic planning retreat, once again, is being buffeted by the winds of change. I would like to suggest that we plan a strategic planning retreat for Sunday afternoon for as many members of the FC, past and present, who can attend. Hello?
Mike's back.
Oh, good, Mike. We have to approve the floor manager nominations for the National Committee confirmation. We have three names for the 2-year term: Sid Smith, Charles Cherus, and Holly Hart, with Frank Young as alternate because of his health problems. Is this okay with you?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
You're really your official last official thing.
All right,
now you can go until I text you again.
We don't want to do it too easy.
Go ahead, Daryl.
I would suggest that we have this Sunday afternoon for present SC members. Over.
Okay. Before we do that, are we completed with the forum manager confirmations? Daryl, is that what you're going to address?
No, I was going to talk about the next thing Jody's talking about.
Okay. You're up as soon as we go back to that. Are there anything else on the forum manager confirmations and any concerns? Okay.
I'm sorry, Daryl Stack.
Yes, Daryl.
So, Jody, if you could, when we send out this confirmation, could we also send out, and maybe between Holly and Charles and Frank and other Sid, maybe you all can just sort of re-tease out their role and responsibility so that we can also put that out to the national list one more time so we can be really clear about what is to be expected. I think that it is tragic. Tragic may be dramatic, but I'm in that mode today, where we have gone through so much discussion about this, and we as an SC haven't really done any more due diligence to find any other folks except for those that did, like Chris, who said they looked. So, you know, the nomination should have come forward, but we spent a lot of bandwidth on this issue and concerns about it and then didn't make any substantive change. So I think that, you know, that should be noted. But if we tell people what to expect and what should be expected, then it should work out better. Over.
All right. I will include that in the minutes.
Just a comment, I think a little bit more touting it on the National Committee list might have brought in self-nominations. It was sort of barely mentioned on the list. Thanks, all. Daryl, you're up for strategic planning retreat.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that while I have not decided what I'm doing, but even as whether I run again or just as a former, I'm not going to be available on Sunday. I'm actually going to have to leave on Saturday in order to be back in D.C. by Sunday morning. So it's our church's 25th anniversary, and I am a senior associate minister, so I cannot miss any of these services that I'm actually helping to plan. So I would prefer, if we have that meeting, to have that meeting on
it's Gloria.
on the Friday or Saturday, and even though it might include people that are running who may not yet be elected, but that would be a great way to get some of their insight in it. We've talked about that in the past. So I would be in favor of doing it before Sunday, but, you know, missing me is not going to end the world if I run and we're reelected. So I don't think it's something that we have to spend a lot of time on, but that was just my two cents. Over.
Thank you, Daryl. Let's step back to forum manager nominations one more time. Gloria, we just had Mike Dennis join, but just to let you voice your input, we're seeking nominations for the forum manager's positions. Sid Smith was nominated, and on this call, it was mentioned that Holly and myself would be willing to serve again, and Frank Young potentially as an alternate forum manager, and we're looking for either additional nominations or consensus on that slate. Does that make sense? Gloria? I don't hear Gloria.
Maybe she hopped back off when she realized she wasn't needed for the vote.
Possibly. Okay, so let's go back to the strategic planning. Jody, was there more?
Well, Hillary Stack.
Go ahead.
I just have a quick question. Which your saint meant the Sunday of the A&M? Is that what you're talking about, Jody?
Yes, that's what I meant. But
okay,
you may not be there. Daryl won't be there. You know, it just seems like we need to do this, and that we keep it keeps getting shuffled off, which is frustrating. So maybe Friday night, maybe Saturday. I don't know. When is there time? When should we do it?
Hillary Stack.
Go ahead, Hillary.
I would prefer some non-A&M time because I just think that time is valuable for other reasons.
I'm sorry. I'm in the subway, so I'm fading in and out. But do you need me to
No, I think we're good, Gloria.
Something? Okay. I'll just
Mike
stay
got
in
it.
When I can.
Thanks.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thanks, Gloria.
So I would try to do the virtual one because I just don't know that we're going to be able to do it. I think we'll be distracted with other things. I don't know how many of us can stay. Since a lot of us are on the East Coast, and part of the problem is just with the time change. If we're going to actually get back by Sunday night, we have to leave, you know, early-ish on Sunday.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
All right, well, so, you know, I think we need to have some consensus that we'll do a virtual retreat, and we also need to have someone who is willing to move this forward and get it done fairly promptly after the A&M. I do think we need to have a meeting of the CC sometime during the A&M, unless we have a call darn soon after. I'm just checking the timing on all this.
Daryl Stack.
Over.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, so Jody, I think your concern is warranted. We have had, and since I've been around, every year we've had a meeting of the steering committee at the A&M, and so I think it's fluctuated. Most of the time it has been on the Sunday, but there may have been once or so when it was on a different time. So I do think we should have a meeting. I don't know that it can be the strategic planning session because that sounds – maybe the wording that you're using is what is ominous about it because it sounds long and detailed. But I think a meeting, an immediate meeting to sort of – update where we're going, what's been going on, and the trajectory we're going in, and in reestablishing the committee's regular schedule and any pertinent issues that need to be thought about, particularly by new members, I think is a good thing to have. So I think that could happen at the A&M, particularly if you ink out an hour or so of time. Maybe it's over a meal on Friday night or something like that. For those folks that are running for steering committee, as well as those that are going to be returning, and those that have been on and are leaving to offer insight and comment. So maybe that's how we do that. And then at that meeting, establish then people pulling up their calendars. If we tell people in advance we're going to do it at that meeting, to set a strategic planning session that's going to happen within 60 days of the new SC being elected, then, you know, you can have people set the calendars and be prepared for that. And I think that might be a way to go, and we'll be a step ahead than where we've been before. So maybe that will solve some of the anxiety that you are expressing, and because it is where it's warranted. Over.
David Stack, suggestion.
Go ahead.
Hillary
David.
Stack.
David.
How about if you have the virtual strategic planning meeting after the nominations are closed during the discussion period and before the candidates for the SC do a video call. That way they'll have some idea of what's expected of being on the SC, and they can more properly, you know, formulate what they their plans are before they are asked questions by the National Committee as a whole. Over.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
I confess to not being as familiar as I should be with the A&M schedule on Friday or Saturday nights. Can anyone clarify which of those nights would be better to have an SC member and candidate dinner so we at least get to know each other?
I can.
Go ahead, Tara.
Friday night is a night of various activities that are not, they're all various optional things, so Friday night would be the night you would do it. Saturday night is the fundraiser. You can't do it then. You've got to be at the fundraiser because you have to give money and raise money. So no
imagine
Saturday
that.
Night. No to Saturday night. Friday night would be a good night to do it because we can find a room then. We could just block off one of the rooms we have for that particular thing. And here's the other thing. I had suggested maybe a meet and greet with candidates and the SC. So maybe we can make it that that one room could be at 7 o'clock, meet and greet, come by if you want to, and then at 7:30 you start the retreat or whatever you want to call it for an hour or two. Over.
Hillary?
Yeah, so just to echo what Daryl was saying, like, I'm okay with a meeting in Sunday afternoon, but a retreat sounds to me like a much bigger bite. So I would say let's try for meet and greet on Friday night, as Tama just suggested, and then also a, you know, shortish meeting Sunday afternoon for whoever can stay and for as long as they can stay, to just lay some ground rules. And then I think we should also schedule an actual virtual, a second, you know, follow-up to what we did, you know, a couple of months ago, either before or after the A&M.
Jody Stack.
Over. And Thomas Stack again to help you.
Jody and then Tama.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is Friday night meet and greet and a meeting for the old and new SCs Sunday afternoon and a virtual retreat scheduled shortly after that. Does that sound okay to everyone?
Tama?
Yeah, I was talking, I when I mentioned the Friday night thing, that could be with both the candidates and the steering committee. Steering committee meetings, we all have to remember, are open anyway. It's whether people can speak or not. So you can just advertise it as the steering committee meeting. I mean, some people may want to come to that. And then your candidates could all be there too, because that's where you could all meet face-to-face, because not everybody can stay on Sunday. But the other thing I was going to say has to do with the fact that I've been on a number of SCs and as staff, et cetera, at those meetings. And Sunday afternoon, you can make that meeting go as long as you want. It's just you put the first things on there that are things that have to be done, like how to approve press releases and, you know, start the liaison conversation, whatever you think is the most important first. And then that meeting can go on all afternoon with whoever's there. It's not a decision-making meeting. It's a getting-to-know-each-other meeting. Over.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
Okay, knowing, having been to a great number of A&M,
yeah.
I suggest that Friday night is simply a meet and greet, and that Sunday afternoon is an FC meeting for the old and new FC members, and split the up because I think the combination is unworkable. So if we say Friday night meet and greet, Sunday afternoon SC meeting for old and new SC members, and of course it's open as usual, and then we schedule a virtual retreat soon after. I think that sums up what we need to do. So I'm asking for approval of that.
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fine, but I would argue the other, that the Friday night is we can meet and greet, but we should have a discussion about important issues and have a meeting at that time. For those particular folks that may have already bought tickets or who aren't going to be able to be there on Sunday at all, but you know, that it's a toss up as to how important it is. I mean, in terms of missing one or two people is not the end of the world. So either way is fine with me. I think in terms of my being able to offer input, whether I'm staying or going, it would be better for me to be there to be able to do that. But I definitely won't be there on Sunday. But that's just me personally. I'm just saying that so it's clear.
Anybody else have suggestions on or preference for Friday evening or Sunday afternoon or both?
Thomas Stack.
Excuse me, Tama. I think I would like, Tama, you're an observer, so I would like to be on the staff.
Go ahead, Jody.
I think that a meet and greet Friday night would be very good so people can get to know the candidates as much as possible, and I really feel that Friday night that we would be better having an actual meeting on Sunday afternoon and then a virtual retreat. I think that trying to do both on Friday night would be awkward, disorganized, etc. So I still would like people to come to consensus on doing the meet and greet Friday night and having a meeting of whatever old and new steering committee people can come on Sunday, and then a virtual retreat scheduled soon after that. And okay, over.
Anybody else on the steering committee have concerns with meeting on Sunday? So I'm looking for consensus for the proposal that Jody put forward to do the steering committee meeting on Sunday for whatever time frame will work.
I'm abstaining.
Okay. I hear no objections. Daryl's concern was recognized, and it sounds like we do have consensus on that.
I have a point of information for you.
Go ahead.
We have to have a place. I have to get a place for Sunday, so I need to know that. So that's good. If you're going to have a meeting, I'll get a place. But you don't have to decide Friday night what you're going to do now. I just need to know if you're going to do the meet and greet, then I just need to block off one of the spaces we already have for that. You can decide if you want to have a meeting later on. That's what I was going to tell you was. Don't have to, and you also don't have a quorum now, so it'd be kind of hard to make
yes,
that anyway.
Yes, we do.
Oh.
We can call, we'll call Gloria.
Oh, okay. Whatever. I'm just saying you don't have to decide about Friday night now as long as I know that you want to have a meeting. You want to block off one of the rooms we already have for meet and greet. That's fine.
Yes.
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
The question, I guess, is in regards to the meet and greet. Is it a meet and greet in a room, or is it a meet and greet where we're going to go to a location and folks are going to be able to have some food and meet and greet and hang out a bit to get to know people? They're two entirely different kinds of things, and the time is going to matter in terms of whether people are going to be hungry and will participate or whether they're going to opt to go to some of those other optional things if they feel like they already know enough of the people running so they don't really need to worry about it, and that's maybe not what we want to do. We may want to have something so they can be more engaged with the potential new members. So just something to think about. We don't have to decide right now, as Tom is saying, but just for the record of us thinking about what that structure will look like will probably impact the number of people that participate and how well it goes over.
Thanks. Just a clarification. It was mentioned having steering committee meeting members and candidates. Is that candidates for steering committee, not candidates for other office?
Yes,
correct.
Candidates for steering committee, yeah.
Okay. And I think a point was made that we don't have consensus, and this doesn't need to be made tonight, so maybe we should schedule this for an online vote to allow more members to weigh in.
Jody Stack, I'm texting Gloria to see if she can come online, but if she doesn't, we can do it online. Over.
So moving on
point,
to the...
I have another point of information if you want it.
Go ahead.
There is no other time on Friday to do this unless you take a workshop slot, and so that would be... Friday night would be it, and it would be across other things that are already planned. Over.
Sounds fine.
Okay, so let's move on to the election database, phase 2 and 3. Hillary?
Nothing new to report.
Any other concerns with that before we move on? Okay, voting page maintenance.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
This directly relates to the election tabulation committee. So I'm concerned about that because the election tabulation, I think I'm getting my committee straight. The election tabulation committee hasn't been able to complete its work from last year because the database was not in shape. Are we looking for some resolution of this dilemma? Over.
Hillary Stack?
Apportionment. For clarity, it's the apportionment tabulation committee.
And
right.
I think you're talking about a different – I think you're talking
okay.
about code for our voting software.
All right. Okay.
Which would
I
be Hue, not the elections
yeah.
database.
Okay, fine. I was hoping I was getting it screwed up, and I was. So that's good in this case. Over.
David, clarity?
Is that all you had, Hillary?
Yes.
Go ahead, David.
That's all I had.
Thanks. Go ahead, David.
Jody's referring to the Apportionment Tabulation Committee, which requires that database in order to complete its work. She wasn't referring to the Elections Tabulation Committee. Over.
Yes, that's just what I said. Okay, thank you.
So hearing no resolution to that concern and understanding that it exists. Let's move on. Voting page maintenance. Chris?
Yep, this is still on pause until we decide to fund more work. Over.
Okay. The ETC final reports. Follow-up, Daryl?
I think that's all been done. That should be resolved. They sent all this stuff. There's nothing further to do as far as I know, unless you guys know, unless there's something missing that I missed, which is possible.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
There were a number of recommendations at the end of the ETC report that need to be followed up on.
Just to note bylaws, rules, policies, and procedures has raised, not resolved any of those concerns, but we'll try and follow up on getting things resolved that deal with the bylaws, and the voting maintenance is the other portion of those.
Jody Stack?
Go ahead, Jody.
So what you're saying is the ETC will continue to work on this and will feed us information on what the steering committee needs to do?
David Stack?
Go ahead, David.
May I, Charles?
Yeah.
The ETC committee is finished and over with. What now needs to be done is the MC and the various parts of the party have to, take up the recommendations. The Bylaws, Rules, Policies, and Procedures Committee has, at least I sent out a notice asking for people to work on updating the bylaws in accordance with the recommendations made by the ETC. Other parts rely upon the voting software, which is, you know, something I guess the SC will have to do over.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
Okay, what I'm trying to do is establish who is supposed to be doing what, because if that isn't firmly established, nothing is going to happen. So the ETC has completed its work. So there are recommendations that have been made. Are we counting on people on the NC reading that over and producing proposals? Should this come from the steering committee or BURP or where?
David Stack?
Go ahead, David.
It depends on what the recommendations are. There were some recommendations regarding the bylaws, and that would be BURP or you know, another state party or caucus to come up with new bylaws. The other part would be like problems with the voting software, and that would be the steering committee getting a hold of who's ever in control of the voting software and having it updated to meet the recommendations. Over.
Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
So it seems like there's nothing for us to do right now on this call, so we should move when it's already 10 o'clock.
Noted. Thank you.
Jody Stack, so I will put this on to continue on the next call.
Well, Daryl Stack.
Go ahead, Daryl.
I think that the question that you have, Jody, would be looking at the whatever the final recommendations are and then figuring out where they need to go. There's nothing for us to do about them unless there's a specific thing that the SC is supposed to do, but our job is not to, we don't run the party. We administer the party's decisions and business. So if there is a decision that needs to be made, a change that needs to be made in how the elections are done and all that kind of stuff, that needs to go to the appropriate committees from which those things would come. And so maybe at the most the secretary could do would be to say, hey, bylaws committee, these are the things in this recommendation that you should take up. Are you planning to do anything with them? If so, please just give us an update to your liaison. And if there's something that for another committee or another body, if there's something about the administration of the election or the process, then the SC should take that up, and we should not rely on all of us to have read every single piece of that document to be sure that we know that there's something we need to take up. So if there's something that needs to be taken up, that may be the best way to do it versus continuing to put it on meeting agendas and have us continue to not have done those things at all. Over.
Jody Stack.
Go ahead, Jody.
I will do that. I just know that if nothing happens, nothing will happen.
Absolutely.
I'm going to needlepoint that on a pillow somewhere. But anyway, okay, I've got it. I will get the appropriate nags out.
Yeah, just a suggestion is that the voting page maintenance issue, as that comes up on the steering committee, should be considering the recommendations for the voting page maintenance from that report.
Yes.
And the rest of the recommendations deal with BURP.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It sounds like we're at the end of our business, so we can end recording.
All right, and I think we have no executive session, so I will end the call. And somewhere on here, there we go. Get the minutes out for your future reading. Okay, hang on a sec here.